Hey everybody, Chris Fafalius here. If you enjoy One Hit Thunder, which I'm assuming you do considering you're listening to it right now, I want to tell you about another great music podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's called Riffs on Riffs. On this season of Riffs on Riffs, hosts Toby Braswell and Joe Watson are breaking down one iconic pop song each week. Everything from Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer to Journey's Don't Stop Believin' to Naughty by Nature's OPP. Each week, they crack open the song, trace its history, decode those cryptic lyrics, and unearth the hidden gems in its musical DNA. Not only do they dive into the song's history, lyrics, and impact, they also go down some fun and oftentimes hilarious rabbit holes. So yeah, if you're a fan of One Hit Thunder, I think you'll also enjoy Riffs on Riffs. So go hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Hey, do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out WeKnowPodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, WeKnowPodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice. In 1993, the band Green Jello had an unlikely top 20 hit with their song Three Little Pigs, which was a twisted rockin' version of a story that we're all familiar with from childhood. A crudely animated, yet unforgettable music video helped launch this song into the stratosphere, and it has remained lodged in many of our brains for 30 years now. This week, we're joined by another cheetah guitarist, Matt Jurcevich, to discuss whether we should all let Green Jello in, or if we need to call Rambo to take care of this wild one-hit wonder.
One hit is all you need to make the money guaranteed, and you can live off royalties forever.
And it makes me wonder, is it just a wonder, or is it one hit thunder?
So, Jurce, you picked a great song to bring to the table, considering you have both a guy who's a giant fan of Green Jello and a guy who produces a podcast where Green Jello himself, Bill Manspeaker, came on and told the entire story of this song. We are probably the two most knowledgeable people about Green Jello. And you'll notice I'm calling them Green Jello because despite the fact that it looks like it's green jelly, what I learned in the episode with Bill Manspeaker of Green Jello is the fact they put the dots above the Y.
The umlaut?
Yeah. Makes it an O sound. They're still Green Jello. Even though it looks like green jelly.
Yeah. Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Just one of the strangest band. Like, the history of this band is so fucking out there. And Chris and I dug through a couple of music videos, and I'm sure you know this, but for the listeners who don't know this, Green Jello was a band that essentially sold themselves as an exclusively music video band to get money to shoot music videos. And boy, that money must have ran out at a certain point, and they were just pulling from whatever they could to finish this video.
Right. Yeah. What do you remember your first experience with Green Jello?
Well, yeah, it was the Three Little Pigs video.
Of course.
But I did see what you're talking about. They had that VHS circulating around with all the videos, maybe in even a crude version of that one.
Yeah. So the VHS tape was called Serial Killer. So the album that all the songs appeared on was called Serial Killer Soundtrack.
Yeah.
Which is, for the longest time, I'm like, what the fuck does Serial Killer Soundtrack mean when I bought this CD? It took me a while to realize, oh, that's the soundtrack to their home video release.
Yeah. Which that, oh man, that got them in so much legal trouble.
Yeah.
The whole band got them in so much legal trouble throughout the entirety of the band.
Yeah. The Bill, who is Green Jello, I mean, he had sort of a band at the time of this, right? There were other people in the band.
Yeah, I mean, Green Jello started as a joke to begin with. It was like, we're naming ourselves after the worst flavor of Jello, and our goal is to be the worst band of all time. Like, they really weren't taking it seriously, I made you pull up the video of them playing on the Gong Show, where their entire goal was just exposure by any means necessary.
they wanted to get gonged as fast as possible.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sounded really bad. I mean, Jers, have you watched their other music videos?
Yeah, I've seen them from time to time. I mean, they're pretty wild, pretty crazy. I had the album that Three Little Pigs is on and everything, and I listened to it. You know, I feel like every song that I come here, that I bought the CD at D's Video when I was a kid.
you know what's awesome about how I got this CD, and I'd be interested to know if you got any CDs this way, is I won this CD at Kennywood. there was a game at Kennywood, may have been throwing a ball and knocking all the milk jugs off the pan, but Kennywood Park, for anyone who's listening, is an over like 125-year-old amusement park with roller coasters in the Pittsburgh area, and you could win CDs, and it was really exciting. That's where I won the Crow soundtrack and also got a Green Jell-O CD there.
Very nice.
Which one do you think was the better album to win?
I don't know. But last night, I will note that one other music video we watched last night was The Misadventures of Shit Man.
Yep, that's the one.
Shit Man!
You got it!
And it was just a guy going into what looked like toxic waste and sewage and everything and eating it, like eating little candy bars that were falling into it. It was really disgusting. Then he fell into it and he became Shit Man. But surprisingly, The Misadventures of Shit Man and all the other terrible music videos that we watched did not become MTV hits. It wasn't until Three Little Pigs, which I don't know if you know the story behind this, Jers. Do you know the story behind the Three Little Pigs video?
Well, the video I know was shot by the same guy or directed by the same guy who made Tool's Sober video.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think Fred's his last name is Fred Sturr. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. I think it's right. Fred. Before that, though, I think that a DJ in Seattle got wind of that VHS and he was trying to make fun of them. This is just what I heard, that he was trying to make fun of them and he played them on the radio and everybody's like, can you play that again? But you had Bill on, so you know.
Well, straight from Bill's mouth, the story goes that they had spent all their money for music videos. Every single time they would take it to the label, they made a music video for every song. I think it's 11 songs, right, Matt?
Yeah.
It's 11 songs. They'd made 10 of them. They'd made music videos for every single one of them. They thought they made this great video. They'd show it to the record label and they were like, nobody laughed. Everybody just sat there straight faced, which if you watch the Misadventures of Shitman video, you'll probably see why.
You know what? But
you gotta be all in for that.
But the serial killer song, I think, isn't bad. The Toucan Son of Sam one.
We watched that one last night.
I had
night
fun
too.
With that one. But I could see someone laughing at that video at least, because that one has like a lot more ridiculousness to it than Shit Man.
But musically, even there's not much.
They're not great.
There's not much there. So they'd done these 10 music videos. They were running out of money. They dumped all these money in these videos. They had like no money left. I think they had like $1,000 left to make a video. Like, what are we going to do? We have this Three Little Pigs song. Why they waited till last for the Three Little Pigs song, I do not know. So he saw that his next door neighbor, who's still in high school, 17 years old, he knew that he did like claymation type stuff.
Okay.
And he said, can you make a music video for me? You know, we have $1,000 we could pay you if you do it. And the kid was like, $1,000? It was like the most money he'd ever heard of. And so the kid was making the video and... So he'd been working on it all this time and the label's like, where's the video? Where's the video? He finally says to the kid, you got to show me what you got. And basically the kid had, as you'd expect, it's claymation, had like 45 seconds done. He's like, the song's like 5 minutes long. He's like, what are we going to do? So as you'll notice when you watch the music video, there's a lot of like
repetitive
use of stuff. Anyway, yeah, the song turned into a giant MTV hit.
Yes.
Yeah.
For a claymation video made for $1,000, which is pretty awesome, especially it was made by a 17-year-old kid.
Yeah. And the other thing that's worth noting is that kid going on to make Tool's Sober video is just one piece of what is a multiple faceted connection of the band Tool with Green Jell-O. Yes. The drummer of Tool started in Green Jell-O, clearly got much better at drumming over the years. Maynard is the person who does the Not By the Hair of My Chinny Chin Chin in this song. Tool's album has There's a track called A Message to Harry Manback, which is literally an answering machine message that they left for Bill. Tool's guitarist Adam Jones previously had worked in practical effects on Ghostbusters 2 and Jurassic Park, helped build Green Jello's costumes.
Isn't that how they got hooked up with Maynard and...
I'm pretty sure. Through that whole weird thing.
Adam was making them their Guar-type attire.
Yeah.
And then that's how they got introduced to Danny
and Maynard. Yeah. Okay. And then Tool has two songs on their debut EP that were specifically recorded in the Green Jello studio.
Right. And speaking of Guar.
Yeah.
Guar, they had played a show. Nobody was there. But a friend of theirs brought a couple of the guys from Guar to their show. And there's barely anybody there. But the guys from Guar told Bill that Three Little Pigs song, that's a hit.
Yeah.
That's your hit. They told him that was a hit and they were right.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Now, I've also heard that Guar was very instrumental in helping teach them how to properly make costumes that wouldn't hurt them, because they were building stuff out of chicken wire and putting it over their head. And the dudes from Guar were like, yo, let's introduce you to foam. It's great.
Like, foam rubber is a little bit better than chicken wire and barbed wire and all the other wires that you can put around you.
Yeah.
Green Jello really went for it, you know, trying to use the music video to their advantage. They were more a music video band. Would they have been huge without a music video?
I don't think so.
Yeah. No.
I don't think so.
So Guar is not to turn this episode into a Guar episode, but at the time that we're recording this and by the time it comes out, my friend's documentary, This Is Guar, is dropping on Shudder for you to watch, which is a 2-hour breakdown of the entire history of Guar. But that band was a video band as well. Like, they started with like, this is just an art project that we're forming a band for someone's movie, and then the movie never got finished, but the band persevered.
Yeah. Well, let me take that back a little bit. The song may have made an impact like it did, but not the impact like the Billboard impact.
Getting all the way up to 17 on the Billboard Hot 100, which is insane.
Bill's voice is unique.
Yeah.
You know, and it's fun. It's stuff like that. But it's just like, for telling a wacky version of a fairy tale story, it just all fell into place where he's just this little prick, you know, it fits so well, but it's not something that translates past that, you know?
Well, I got to tell you that beginning of course I had the CD. Even before I had the CD, I had the cassette single of the song. As soon as it came, I was perfectly in the wheelhouse. When did this song hit?
93?
This would have been, so when it peaked on the chart anyway, it was June of 93.
I had just gotten out of school and I was 13 years old. And this video comes on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, we had to love this. This is probably around the time I met you. Maybe I met you a year later or something.
Maybe a year earlier. It's right around that time.
Right around the time I met you is the time this was hitting. And this is so exactly everything that we would like.
Yes.
Everything about it. And dude, when Rambo comes out at the end, that is the funniest. That was like...
And honestly, using the snare drum to represent the bullets is so brilliant.
Oh, yeah. It's very good.
But I got to say, I hadn't listened to this in forever until we were doing that episode with Bill for Krista Makes a Podcast. And then in preparation for the episode, I'm listening to it. And the beginning of that song, I was fired up.
Yeah.
When he, let me tell you the tale, and the three little pigs. It is. I seriously got fired up by it. I was like, this is awesome. This is great.
I have had, I'm sure everyone has this if they're even slightly a musician, but you're like driving around listening to someone else's song and you're imagining yourself doing whatever instrument it is you play. Yeah,
of course.
And like, I just imagine even doing a cover band at a local show, when that snare hits to kick into that guitar riff, just how wild you're going on stage when that like, bah, 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 like
instant like, pit.
Hey, Juris, I know, I swear to you, you said the same thing to me, that you and I are on the same page with this. When I have those, like, listening to a great song and have those like rocking in front of people, fantasy or whatever. I told this to Chris DeMakes. He goes, what are you talking about? Why aren't you picturing yourself playing at like Wembley or like at in hundreds of thousands of people? I still to this day picture myself as like a young kid playing at the school talent show. And you walk out and people are like, what is this? And and by halfway through the song, they're like ripping the seats out of the auditorium.
Yeah, mine's like a far basement. Like it's like a local dirt show. Like
I always picture the teachers are trying to control it. The principal's trying to stop it. The cops are trying to shut it down, but the kids are like, still to this day, I'm a grown man.
I know.
And that's still the thing, because that's what it's always been.
I do that too. It's that setting. For some reason, I always picture the Icy Light Amphitheater whenever we used to go see Warped Tour.
Uh-huh.
I always picture myself there being the lead singer over top of everybody. Okay. And it's always raining, but everybody's still there.
Well, that's a real... That's more like what you should be. I would still like that to happen, but to me, it's still like I'm that kid that like... just wants to destroy the school. Like, I don't know why. I think that was just implanted in my head as like, this is what it's like to be a rock star.
No, I also do that. Yeah.
But so funny.
The talent show or, you know, just even like, why are they setting up in the cafeteria during lunch?
Yeah. Right.
What is this? This is wild.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> And what's funny too is, Matt, you talked about like picturing playing that. Well, now, in recent years, I think for a long time, Bill, when he goes on tour, he just gets people from the area. Like if he's going to Florida, he's like, who do I know in Florida that can come just be my band and play the shows? Like that's been going on for a long time. So if you want to be in Green Jello, I think you just hit up Bill and be like, hey, Bill, I'm in Pennsylvania. So if you come here, I'll be your bassist, you know, or whatever. And he'll be like, yeah.
I believe they have the Guinness Book of World Records for the most named band members.
Really?
Over 700 or something like that. And they're not really worried about being crispy good.
No.
Right. And what's really interesting about this, and I'll give you the cliff notes on it. Once again, I should say that if anyone's really interested in this, listen to the Chris DeMakes a podcast episode with Bill Manspeaker talking about the writing of this song. But I don't know if you know this, that each of the pigs represents an actual person when he was writing the song. And he had never talked about this before. He came on Chris DeMakes. He's like, no one ever asked me about this before. It's like, these are actual people. And I think the first pig who moved from, he was like the hick who moved to the big city.
Yeah, he made it out of straw.
Yeah, that was him. That was Bill. He was writing about himself. The second little piggy.
That's the stoner in Venice.
This is unbelievable. When he said this, I was like, no way. Back in the day, and I know that our friend PJ can vouch for this, and Steve and Paul probably too. I think he may have been there for this. In the first times we'd ever gone to LA area, there's this guy who I learned his name. I forget what it is now, but he wears a turban. And he wears roller skates and he has a little like plugged in amplifier that he wears like on his hip or his backpack and plays guitar. And he sings these songs. It's like skate, dance,
Harry Perry.
And that guy's been doing that. I think we didn't know he was well known. We thought he was just this guy like riding around the Santa Monica Pier.
I typed roller skate guitar and the first thing that popped up was roller skating guitar player from Venice Beach, yes. Harry Perry.
Right. And so we'd experienced that guy. I think maybe we had bought his CD. He was selling his CDs out of his backpacks. He was just like a local crazy guy. Uh-huh. And
we've all seen him.
Yeah, we experienced that guy in person, and I guess he was well known. Maybe he was in like Beverly Hills Cop in a scene or something, like maybe in the background or something. Okay. He was in some movies and stuff.
I have the full list here.
Oh, yeah?
So Harry Perry had numerous cameo appearances in several films.
Yeah, I think I've heard
including
of this guy, though.
Fletch, Dragnet, White Man Can't Jump, Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny, and then the TV shows CSI, Heroes, and America's Next Top Model.
Wow. Well, that's who the second pig was based after, that guy.
Wow.
And I was like, what? I've met that guy before. That's who the second pig. And then the craziest, weirdest one was that the third pig, what were he?
Well, his dad was a rock star named Pig Newton.
Right.
Or Nugent.
Yeah,
Pig Nugent. Yeah.
That was his, not even... It's not like he was even created yet. That was his future son That was him picturing his future son.
Okay.
And now he has a son. And his, by the way, Bill's son, his name is Chaos Diablo, which I think is the awesomest name I've ever heard for
it's
a kid
badass.
In my life. He was like 7 years old. When Bill was on the podcast, you could see where he was at. He has, right in Hollywood, he has a place where he makes music videos, and it looks like the wildest fun house you've ever seen. That was the background.
Like yeah.
Yeah. He was like, come on out here, make a music video. Come on. He was just like the wildest, craziest guy. I thought that was interesting. And then the other thing I learned is the Rambo part, there were alternate versions. One was that the Kool-Aid man burst through the wall, which seems like, you know, pretty on par with all the cereal
foods and stuff like that. Yeah. Food mascots.
But they decided on the Rambo part.
Wow. Kool-Aid man, the Rambo. That's a big jump.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't obviously to not get sued because Sylvester Stallone can sue you too.
Yeah.
Sly's probably even better at it than Kellogg's and shit.
Yeah.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses, all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen, and wherever you get your podcasts.
By now, I'm sure you've at least heard about Factor, but if you haven't tried it yet, let me tell you as a guy who loves it, now is the time. Enjoy stress-free dining this spring with Factor's chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals that are ready in just 2 minutes. With 35 weekly options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie, plus over 60 add-ons, you'll stay fueled and feel fantastic all day long. Don't wait. Fuel up for your spring goals today with Factor. Factor offers you chef-prepared meals ready in just 2 minutes, so you can spend more time doing what you love this spring. Indulge in gourmet options like filet mignon, shrimp, and fresh veggies without the hassle of prep or cleanup. Customize your weekly meals to fit your schedule perfectly and enjoy the convenience of Factor's no-fuss, no-mess approach. Plus, you can celebrate Earth Day all month long with Factor's low-carbon footprint options. Factor is your go-to solution for fast, premium meals, eliminating the need for cooking and empowering you to savor every moment. So head to factormeals.com/onehit50 and use the code onehit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code onehit50, the words one hit and the number 50, at factormeals.com/onehit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Oh, hello there. I didn't see you come in. I'm Shane O'Hare of the Geekscape Games Podcast, the number one video game podcast on the Geekscape.network. Join myself, Derek Krennevelt, and a guest every fortnight as we discuss video game news, video game reviews, and dissections. That's Geekscape Games every 2 weeks on Geekscape.net.
By the way, speaking of, what did they do to Rambo with the lyrics? Or unless we're going to get into the lyrics later or something like that.
Well, there's a lot of lyrics to break down. I think we've told the gist of the story.
So what did they do with Rambo?
Well, Rambo came and killed the wolf.
No. But in the lyrics, it's they taked out Rambo. It sounds like that to me my entire life.
No, he called 9/11 like any piggy would. They called up Rambo as fast as they could.
They don't say called up Rambo. I'm telling you.
I got the lyrics right
the
in
lyrics
front of me.
The lyrics are sent out.
They sent out Rambo.
He doesn't
just
say
as fast
either of those
could.
Things. It sounds like he says taked out.
9/11, like any piggy would, they taked out Rambo just as fast as they could.
I hear sent out.
I heard sent.
I hear taked out. I hear
look, don't
it
right you try
now?
To dentist doctor this.
Do you know about the dentist doctor thing from the Sum 41 song?
Oh, yeah. It's the same as the Laurel and Yanni.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's Laurel for me, man. You guys
it's
are Yanni.
It's a real blue and gold dress or a white and black dress situation we have here.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. So you guys hear that. It's two against one.
We're going to get our scent versus taked debate going in our Facebook group.
And take's not a word. It's what I hear every single time since the first time. That doesn't make any sense.
Out Rambo. I mean, I guess that could make sense. Like you might stumble on your words and say like they took him here, but like, they taked him out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't see them doing multiple attempts at the vocal track.
No. They're like, that's good.
So I want to highlight, just looking at the top 20 chart, the fact that this song hit as high as it did in the Hot 100. I thought for sure when I Googled where this peaked that we were going to get one of the songs. It's like it peaked at like 70, you know, 17, Chris.
Yeah.
So this was above Aerosmith Living on the Edge.
Nice.
It was above the Stereo MCs Connect It, which was the band that for a split second I thought, oh, are they a one-hit wonder?
Aren't they?
No. But what got above them, you had like Nothing But a G Thing by Dr. Dre on the charts. Have I Told You Lately by Rod Stewart. The Bad Boys theme from Cops by Inner Circle was in there. Some PM Dawn and
set Adrift on Memory Bliss?
No.
Oh. What song?
Looking Through Patient Eyes.
I don't remember that.
I have no clue what that song is. It hit number six. But number one was Janet Jackson.
Nice.
With That's the Way Love Goes.
Man, is that a good song.
I wish I could go back to a time where I could turn on the radio and hear Three Little Pigs, the theme from Cops, and That's the Way Love Goes. I think that was a very good time for the radio.
What a crazy time to literally be top 40 radio, and this Three Little Pigs song is just on your docket for a couple weeks.
Yeah, why not?
And they always say that they suck, which...
Well, Primus does the same thing.
Yeah, there's like, we suck. It's like, from the first time I heard them, those metal guitars are squealing. They sound pretty good. Drums are pretty big and, you know... echoey, and they're good musicians for the most part on some of the songs that I've heard, but I guess their composition is a little bit barfy.
Barfy is a good word for it, but yeah, it's also it's punk rock in a way.
Yeah,
it's like the definition of punk rock. You don't care. You're not trying to play perfectly. You're just getting up there and doing your thing, and you're being obnoxious. You're being offensive. And something that I've thought this before, and when Matt played that clip when we're figuring out if it's sent or taked, do you guys think there's a chance that the vocal stylings of Bill Manspeaker may have influenced the vocal stylings? I know this is kind of not like a band that maybe everybody knows, but I would assume a great chunk of our listeners know. The singer of the band Say Anything, Max Bemis, they definitely both have that like Three Little Pigs.
I need to bring up something that I just saw on the Wikipedia page. So as we established, Maynard guest vocals on Three Little Pigs. There's someone else who's listed as a guest vocalist on the song The Three Little Pigs.
Wow.
Pauly Shore.
Wow. That sounds about right.
I'm assuming he's maybe also doing the Not By the Hair of My Chinny Chin Chin with Maynard, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of any other part where Pauly Shore's voice is popping up. Maybe he was Rambo?
Maybe he was. Who knows?
Oh, you know what? That does kind of sound like Pauly Shore doing a Rambo impression.
Maybe. It's a greasy Rambo impression.
Rambo, buddy. Yeah. How do we feel about Pauly Shore?
I think he's greasy.
Yeah.
I was going to say, at the time that this was coming out, probably my comedy god. I watched so much Jury Duty In the Army Now.
Oh, yeah.
Like
Encino Man.
Encino Man, Son-in-Law.
Exactly.
Son-in-law. Yeah.
Son-in-law is the one.
No.
Some grindage.
For whatever reason, I loved In the Army Now and Jury Duty so much.
Those were really good.
Hey, this is very fitting that I made to Matt and I, Jerse and I, not Matt Kelly and I, Jerse and I play in a band called Another Cheetah. And to our song Vega, if you go on YouTube and search for Another Cheetah Vega, I made what I wanted to make look like it was from the movie Son-in-Law. Yeah, so I took all I took all the these clips from Son-in-Law and told the whole story, the plot of the movie Son-in-Law set to our song. And at the end of it, I put the part, which it still makes me kind of laugh out loud, that me and PJ have both talked about how we got chills at the end of Son-in-Law when the dad goes after the after like somebody gets knocked out or whatever, and the dad sits down at the table and goes, "Now let's munch on some grindage," and like just chills everywhere. Like the dad finally accepts Crawl.
That's a good character actor there too. I don't remember his name. Oh, he's, yeah, he's in everything. That dude rocks. But yeah, when he's when he finally accepts Paulie at the end there, I think I cried a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah. Those are he has an amazing catalog of comedic movies.
That movie also has Tiffany Amber Thiessen in it, and it has. Oh, what's the main girl's name? She's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Carla Gugino?
Yeah. Just call her Carla.
I mean, in Son-in-Law, I think, especially being a kid, I thought she's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in Son-in-Law. And Tiffany Amber Thiessen's in that, so that's saying a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
When, once she dyed her hair orange and she became punk.
Yeah. I, Tiffany Amber Thiessen never did it for me. It did it for everybody in the 90s. Yeah, I was a Jesse Spano.
Oh.
I was. That's everybody gets real mad at me.
Wow.
I was. I liked her better.
I could have seen, you know, being a Lisa Turtle, or but Jesse Spano.
I didn't like Lisa Turtle's shirts she wore. They were always real bulky and ugly.
You probably got excited when Showgirls came out.
I did. I did get excited.
So I want to just bring up two songs that have been, that are on this album that I just don't I think about them more than I should. And I know that you both have owned the album. Do you remember A, their cover of Anarchy in the UK, which is all of the normal lyrics except that they make Flintstones references?
Yes.
Throughout it.
Yes.
I don't remember that, but that's amazing.
Yeah, it's Anarchy in Bedrock, and it's just they literally are singing all of the lyrics, but just will randomly change it to like, "I am a Flintstone."
Something.
Yeah. And then there's the song called House Me Teenage Rave.
Okay, well that's not what it was originally called.
Yeah, it went through a couple different names.
It was I think it was called Hit Me Teenage Babe or something like that.
But it's literally just a rave soundtrack with a dude just tripping on ecstasy, giving like, you know, like the opening conversation in Undone from Weezer? Yeah. Just imagine that for 4 straight minutes, but it's a dude just walking around talking to people at the club while he's tripping on ecstasy.
You see, my memory of that song is it was like an orgy or something like
Maybe
that.
Maybe that's what it was.
There was people, there was women moaning in it.
Yeah, it's a weird song to listen to, though.
Hey, what's the monkey? This is the monkey, baby. Say hi. Say hi to the monkey. The monkey likes you.
Will it bite?
Yeah. No, he doesn't bite as long as you're nice to him.
And he's like, I brought the monkey out. Check it out. And they're like, oh, can I pet the monkey? He's like, go ahead. It's like, wow, I was listening to that at like 12.
Man, Juris, now, you know, we play in Another Cheetah together. And in Another Cheetah, we try to write songs that are good.
Right.
Meaning, we're not... I've always had this fantasy, and it shouldn't be a fantasy at all. It should be totally doable and easy as hell of like having a studio set up, which we do now,
which we do
at our band practice, and to just be able to be like, make the craziest music, to make the next Green Jello album, to do stuff like this.
Yeah.
And I think that's all that was going on here. It was like, it was people having fun and just doing whatever and not caring what anybody thought. And look at where that, I mean, okay, Green Jello didn't have a big long career after that, but they had a hit song. A hit song came out of it.
It's huge, huge hit song. The way that they impacted the time and their attitude towards everything that they came at, it's like, we suck, we don't care. We're going to rock as hard as we can. Yep. We're going to make a giant mess and leave the stage on fire and get the hell out of here.
Right.
And that went right along with the early 90s vibe. And they just sunk right into a route and just took off.
It's kind of an interesting question. Could Green Jello have happened? I mean, the band could happen right now, whatever. Yeah. I'm saying, could the success happen now?
I don't think so.
Now, you see, you asked that question, and you know, you hear different answers for it, but the way this story is set up, it's just I think it's adorably timeless. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. if you didn't know the video and somebody heard that, they would think it was, at least, you know, an older person would think it was cute, you know? Like there's something to it, to where Gwar's like, that song right there, you got to get that out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but here's my flip side on that. Here's why I don't think it would work.
Okay.
A, no one watches music videos, and that's a huge thing that sold this song for people. B, people's attention spans are so short. I don't know if they get through the guitar part intro conversation before the actual riff starts on the song.
It's unfortunately true.
I mean, he kind of... Okay, you'd probably have to cut the riffing, but if he started on the sit right back and I'll tell you a tale part, maybe that might catch my attention. I don't know. The little pig, yeah, or the not by the hair of my chin, that might always be funny. If you cut this down into bite-sized pieces and put it on TikTok.
I was literally just thinking this song could have a resurgence on TikTok. I think that you could get people to just do the little pig, let me in part as something on TikTok, and that it could maybe it'll go higher than 17. It could just take the world by storm.
Close calls. Close call TikToks. You know, like somebody almost fell into something. Sure. Not by the hair of my chin.
Yeah.
There you go, TikTok. You're welcome.
Yeah.
There
you go get it, kids.
Yeah. You're welcome, Bill.
So, Green Jello, are they thunder? Are they a blunder?
Do we have to go Green Jello, or do we have to go this song?
That's for you to decide.
That's
but
the question. We usually go full scale here.
We go full scale. I think I know where I'm going with this.
Yeah?
I think I'm going thunder.
Yeah?
Because A, the song's a banger. The band stayed true to who they are. And, like, from what you're telling us about Bill, he took this weird, we're going to be a music video band, and turned it into a career where he lives in, like, a Pee Wee's Playhouse studio of music video making. I mean, if our goal in this is always to determine, did people make the best of what their hit was, it's a resounding yes on this band.
Yeah.
Because this shouldn't have been a hit, period. And he took the anomaly that this song was a hit and made a whole career where he's doing what he loves doing full time. That, to me, is thunder.
I feel you on that, Matt. I'm going with Matt.
Yeah. Yeah. So it doesn't really matter what I think, but I'm also going to agree. The guy was sweeping floors at like one of the television studios in Hollywood and made this crazy music and took it to the top and then turned that into... Then from there, being able to do video production, I think he got someone to give him millions of dollars to like build a studio. And then he did videos for lots of other people. So I have this big thing. The only thing I'll say is that when it comes to Green Jello, I'm probably not listening to any of these other songs.
No.
I will always get psyched to hear Three Little Pigs, though. I think it rocks. I can't imagine how fun that would be to play live.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that he's created something that's pretty timeless there. So I think it's interesting. And also, I will note, there is this hilarious video, which you can easily find on YouTube, of Bill, by the way, I'll say this over time, he is Green Jello. Like, he's had ins and outs, but he is it. He's the singer. And where he gets bands together of people, and he'll get asked to play shows, and he'll be like, okay, I got to figure out how much I need for my flights, and I got to be able to pay my band and whatever. And he makes these deals, and someone, a promoter, stiffed him. Just like disappeared after the show. And I think he was in Canada somewhere. So he made this like 20-minute long video of him finding the promoter, banging on his door in the morning, waking him up, and just belittling him and being like, get in the fucking car right now. Get in the fucking car. You're going to get me my, you're taking money out of my kid's mouth. Get in the fucking, and just, so the guy got in the car and he's taking him to the ATM and just belittling him the whole entire ride, just talking shit. And, you know, it's a little much, but at the same time, like for anybody who's ever been in a situation where they got stiffed, it's like, this is incredible.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
just him just calling him a piece of shit the whole time, making him go to the ATM and get the money after he ducked out after the show. It's pretty amazing.
Some people you stiff, some people you don't stiff, and Bill is not a you person not that stiff. You stiff.
You do not stiff the guy, the Three Little Pigs guy.
Where's my money? And they called out Rambo!
So we should actually really quickly mention that the riff for Three Little Pigs is Smoke on the Water.
Right. That was the big that was the big reveal in the episode, was that that's another thing that Bill had never told anybody, but that it's the riff is basically Smoke on the Water.
Yeah.
It's just like a slightly altered version of it. But
yep. You know what? You changed one little thing that never lined up in my mind until you said that. Right. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
This has been One Hit Thunder. One Hit Thunder is hosted by Chris Fafalios of the bands Punchline, Pack, and Another Cheetah, and produced by Matt Kelly of Geekscape.net. Underneath me, you're hearing Lucky by Another Cheetah, which is available on any streaming site. Do you want to start a podcast? Then contact Chris or myself at weknowpodcasting.com for how we can make your show sound as professional as possible. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app. And tune in next week for another episode of One Hit Thunder.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.
Hey, this is Aaron from No Simple Road. I'm inviting you to come hang out with Apple, Mel, and I as we talk with the musicians, artists, chefs, authors, and beyond from the world that turns us on. We're reaching into the improvisational music scene, the psychedelic culture, the festival world, and getting to know what makes the people tick that create those scenes. Come join us on the long, strange trip over at No Simple Road.